This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Great to have you with us on a Friday afternoon. The tournament underway. We'll update you on anything you need to know about. But last night was quite an evening of college basketball. And this is the headline in The Athletic, and it's resonating around the country under Kyle Tucker's byline. Hard questions about John Calipari's future now unavoidable after the Oakland upset. 2 years ago today, you could have sugarcoated it, but not anymore. This was a pretty dismal day for the Southeastern Conference. State was a no-show against Michigan State. Same for South Carolina after a brilliant season under the coach of the year in the SEC. Tennessee held its part of the bargain, looking like maybe a Final Four team, maybe more than maybe, I think are. And John Calipari, another early exit. And what did Cal have to say in the aftermath?
Hindsight when you're coaching, if you did something and we had won this game, it was, you were a genius. And if you don't do it, you're the, you're the bad guy and all that stuff. But, you know, like I said, I thought the preparation was what it needed to be, because you cannot in this tournament come in and start changing. You change everything, now they get tight. Now they think too much versus just play.
You can't start changing, but change seems to be on the tips of many Wildcat fans' tongues today. The reaction, brutal. It was expected. We sat with Kyle Tucker a week ago, and he told us, you better watch out if Cal loses in the opener. This is what Kyle said last night. Calipari had the National Player of the Year and lost to St. Pete. He had the National Freshman of the Year and a fifth-year senior who set the Cal Air scoring record and lost to Oakland. At some point, it's not them, it's exactly what is it, is the question of the day in the bluegrass and all around college basketball. Kyle, thanks for the time. No need to rehash the game. Anybody could figure out Kentucky was tight. They did not look well prepared. And in the moment, they let up many big shots, as predicted, because of their lack of defense. But the question everybody is asking, and you wrote about in The Athletic, is what now for Mitch Barnhart and John Calipari at the University of Kentucky? Good afternoon.
Is the big question, and it has to be asked at this point. John Calipari did a lot of incredible things in his first 10 years at Kentucky. He went to 7 Elite Eights and 4 Final Fours, and he won him a national title. There's no arguing the greatness in that. But over the last 4 years, there's been one SEC tournament win and one NCAA tournament win. And that, by any measure in any era of Kentucky basketball history, is not good enough. And, you know, the clip that you played, you know, more frustrating to a lot of people than the results even. The clip that you played was in response to a question that I asked Cal last night, because so much of what he said was, well, you know, we made a lot of mistakes. And if you look, we're a young team and most of the mistakes were made by young guys. And every time they have looked bad or made mistakes this year, it is a rehashing of, well, we're a really young team. And that excuse doesn't fly anymore, because you chose this. In the current era of college basketball, when you're at a program like Kentucky and a recruiter like John Calipari, you can get any kind of roster you want. You can be old if you want to be old. And he was old when they lost to St. Peter's. He tried that 1 year and it didn't work, even with the National Player of the Year. And this year, he was very braggadocious. He finally got a number one class again. He'd always recruited well, but there was a little slip. And so he finally got this star-studded recruiting class again. He felt like he had a group of freshmen like he used to have at Kentucky. And he said on Media Day in October in Lexington, if you ask me experience or talent, I'll take talent every time, because the talent usually figures it out. And it didn't figure it out this year. And you can't cry we're young when you chose to be young. in the transfer portal era, in the NIL era, you could have any roster you want at Kentucky. And this is the one he chose. And then that's no matter what it is. I mean, the players made mistakes. The guys were tight. Guys missed defensive assignments. Guys, you know, were shy taking shots or missed shots, threw balls out of bounds. But you are the guy who shopped for the ingredients, and you're the guy who baked the cake. It's all on you at the end of the day. And I think the lack of accountability, and which is why I asked him after all the stuff about we're young, is what could you have done to help these guys? And he's talked about a timeout he should have called or a defense he should have gone to different. It was not a deeply reflective answer. You know, and then even asked how he might change his approach going forward. He said he just couldn't see himself going away from freshmen, which is an insane thing to say in that moment.
Kyle, let's talk about the reality, because I spoke to somebody well-versed in college basketball circles earlier today, and I asked this person who was once in a position that Mitch Barnhart is currently in, what would you have done or what would you do if you were in Mitch Barnhart's position? He said, it depends. I said, depends on what? He said, if the buyout was not extreme, the decision would have already been made. But the question I have to you is, the buyout is extreme. How much is it? How can Kentucky deal with this issue, and can they afford to get rid of Cal?
Yeah, that is the question. Can they afford it, or are they willing to pay it? I mean, I think just about every school in the SEC can afford it. We know the kind of money that's coming in. It's just how much are you willing to spend to make somebody go away? When you're then going to have to go spend a whole bunch of money to get the next guy, and you've got to hope that you don't miss on that next guy. But it's $33 million. Unless something gets negotiated, unless Cal, you know, decides to leave. I mean, I think a lot of people today are thinking of this as Cal needs to be fired. The other, you know, potential outcome is that Cal himself realizes that this thing has gone completely toxic on him, and it's going to be really hard to flip it without a fresh start. And he may want to go somewhere else. I'm not saying he will, but I think it's a possibility that has been floated to me a few times over the last 2 years. As you know, the relationship with the fan base has soured, as his relationship with Mitch Barnhart, no matter what either side wants to say publicly, has not been particularly good or close over the last 3 or 4 years. That maybe after something like this, you just realize, you know, I need a fresh start. And so if that were to happen, if he was to find a soft place to land where he thought he could win and take his, you know, number two recruiting class with him, which would be attractive to a lot of schools that are scuffling along right now. Maybe some name brand programs that just feel like they need a little juice, and John Calipari certainly brings the juice. Then that may be the most amicable way it could go. But Kentucky right now, if barring that, is really in a tough spot because they locked him into this quote unquote lifetime contract in 2019. And the results have been the worst of his era since then, and they just owe him so much money if they decide they want out. And it feels like a lot of people want out now, and you're going to have to pay him big time to do it.
Kyle Tucker with us. Kyle, you sat with us a week ago in Nashville at the SEC, and you talked about having to get out of the first weekend, and even that didn't seem great, you know, getting to the Sweet 16.
Because this
program, yeah, I mean, this program is built on the Final Four and championships, but I think you alluded to, you know, there's no way he can afford to lose a first round game again. Well, he's done that now. So tell me, and I realize you've been in Pittsburgh, and but you hear from Kentucky fans, and you're around them. How would you describe their temperature today, and can they listen to the same stuff from Cal that they've been hearing the last couple of years, and quite frankly, none of it has come to fruition?
No, I think the messaging is it was already, I think, to this point, but now the messaging is white noise to the fan base. It's the same lines for 13, 14, 15 years. And, you know, it's the same. I mean, in some ways, Cal's not different. He's still this sort of swaggering guy, but it plays a lot different when you're losing. you know, he won a game at Auburn this year that was one of their biggest wins of the year. And instead of just coming in and talking about what his players did well and why that was an important win, he sort of paraded into the interview room to, like, mock everyone who he said showed up to basically watch him lose and, you know, na-na-na-boo-boo. And he spent the year, really, this whole season, anytime there was a moderately good moment, kind of like you could tell he was ready to say, "I told you so," to all of his critics. And now he has nothing to show for that. And you know, I think people are just kind of tired of it. The act grows really weary if you're not winning. It's just like when he would say, you know, this idea that he would say the SEC tournament doesn't really matter to him. He said that at the beginning, and nobody cared because he won it anyway. That's okay to say you don't care about the SEC tournament when you win it every year. It's not okay to say it when you haven't won it in 5 years. You know, and things like that, the messaging wears thin on people when you're not as successful. People put up with a lot, or it just comes out differently. When you're super successful, it comes out like confidence and not as much like totally unjustified arrogance.
Kyle, as we wrap up here, and we deeply appreciate you being available, take us through what you think happens next, because it's hard to predict. Mitch Barnhart, one of the most respected ADs in the country, but he also keeps his cards very close. He let a women's basketball coach go 2 weeks ago, but there was obvious reasons for that. What do you think happens now?
I legitimately am not confident enough to say. I think because it's such a difficult position, sort of rock in a hard place position to be in. I think you're right. What you said earlier, that if the buyout was not prohibitive, it may have already been done, but it is prohibitive. $33 million, no matter how much you bring it in, to pay somebody not to coach is a lot of money. And, you know, even though he locked his coach into this sort of ridiculous contract, in general, Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director, is a pragmatic guy and a little more conservative in the way that he's going to throw money around. And it's hard for me to fathom him doing that, even though he's going to feel a lot of pressure to do it now. And so I just don't know. And I don't know what the machinations will be of if he can get in a room with John Calipari and they could hammer out an agreement for something less than $33 million or some way to try to salvage an amicable split. And so if barring all of that, the sort of the doomsday scenario in some ways is that nothing happens and everybody there's this incredibly awkward season ahead next year where he will be relying on six freshmen that he's already signed. And he's already made reference to how great the group coming in is the freshmen coming in and the fan base does not want to hear that. And I would be fascinated if he's back unless he has some major changes elsewhere within the program staff or players brought in or whatever that could somehow excite people. What would Rupp Arena look like on opening night next season? I don't know.
Kyle, that's what I want to end here, because if Cal ends up staying, you can't sell the recruiting class. I mean, we've heard that about 15, 16 times now, especially last year. Knowing how resilient Kentucky fans have been, and really even despite what this trend has been portending, and it has been a correct indicator, can he get them back? Other than the fact they are Kentucky true blue, will they support him as the coach if next season arrives with him as the head coach?
I don't know. I'm pretty skeptical that the broader fan base would be super bought into that program next year. Because there's just no universe in which you can sell, these freshmen are going to be great. Because he couldn't have had better freshmen over the last several years than the ones he had this year. I mean, not all of them lived up to the hype. You know, some that they thought were going to be really good weren't. But then Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham were unbelievable. They were some of the most fun players that we've seen at Kentucky. And Antonio Reeves, a fifth-year senior, was the highest scoring player he's ever coached at Kentucky, and you didn't win with those guys. There's no world in which you convince fans that a less heralded group of freshmen is than this one is going to come in and somehow have better results. I've said this a couple times. If I'm trying to like squint and imagine a scenario where Cal gets some level of excitement back, and it is literally, you know, take half of his salary and put it in an NIL fund to get Reed Sheppard back. You know, if somehow Reed Sheppard, the golden child, came back for a sophomore season and he came out and said, well, I came back because I love Cal and I want to play for Cal. Because I, you know, and he said last night, Reed Sheppard said last night, it's not his fault. I love him. He's the greatest coach in the world. If he said that and then came back, maybe there's some level of hope that gets reignited. But short of that, I think it's going to be tough.
Kyle Tucker, thank you. Appreciate it very much. Kyle has been pretty on top of the story, prescient, and what he said would be the reaction if it happened again. And quite frankly, it was hard to believe it happened. Almost nobody saw Kentucky losing. In fact, many more people saw them winning it all. Dick Vitale, the prominent ESPN broadcaster, just days ago picked Kentucky to cut down the nets in early April. As we wrap up here, thinking about October when the season begins, the next one, and will Cal be the head coach at the University of Kentucky? That's the question we ask, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
A couple of things happening right now in the women's tournament. South Carolina has pretty much doubled up. Well, hasn't pretty much. Has doubled up Presbyterian. Other games going on. Yale-Auburn. Colorado and Florida, A&M and Nebraska, Charleston and Alabama. Well, you've heard Cal, rinse, repeat, same story, different year. Billy from Philly is up next.
Hi, Paul. I think the culture of the Paul Feinbaum Show has always been college sports are different because we're building character, we're building young men, we're building people. Nick Saban was all about that. The coach at LSU, Kelly, is terrific in that regard. I would be happy to have my child there. You bring on this gigantic Tennessee lineman who acts like a senior and knows what it's like to lead other people. That's what this is all about. College sports builds character. Where has Calipari made any person a better person? That's a nasty.
Billy, when you start playing Hearts and Flowers after a humiliating defeat that's on you, and you lost to a team that's top scorer came from Division II. I mean, don't expect anybody to believe your BS, okay?
Well, that's my point is, yeah, they didn't just lose; they were terrible. They were lazy on defense, and when guys drove to the basket, they move three steps to cut off the layup. They'll stop and take the jump shot. I mean, this is not – defense has got to be fought much tougher than they were playing. Leadership was zero. I mean, I don't think they're showing a lot of character that I like to see in an athlete. And in basketball, it's very visible. I think that's his – that's why Kentucky should bite the bullet, pay the $30 million, and get on with it.
Thank you very much. John is in Kentucky. John, go right ahead.
I'm going to go out on a limb, but I'm assuming you're going to cancel your fan membership in the John Calipari fan club, right?
I am done with Cal's. I mean, it doesn't matter to me whether he stays as a Kentucky coach. That's up to the Kentucky people. But that's the final time I'll ever believe I'll ever believe anything he says.
Yeah, losing to little old Oakland U and who was it? Little Eddie Munster.
By the way, I want to congratulate Vice President Harris. She did a bracket and she picked Oakland over Kentucky. Now she's from California and she thought Oakland was in the San Francisco Bay Area, but she still got she got it right even though she was wrong.
You got the all right, right. But yeah, little Jimmy Chitwood sure shot the ball out of the court that day, last night. Hey, Paul, it was just earlier in the week that Commissioner Sankey was bragging about the SEC, and of course they busted all our March Madness brackets. But he also said he made a case for taking away the NCAA tournament bids from these mid-major leagues, suggesting that they're being wasted on teams from non-power conferences. Hello, Oakland U, right?
Yeah, I'm not even sure you could call Oakland's conference a mid-major.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they're like they're like a bottom feeder major.
I've been there. It's in Rochester, Michigan. There's no campus there. It's a commuter college. Yeah. Hey, just some other quick hitters.
The guys the walk-ons at Kentucky were higher rated than anybody on the Oakland team.
And better paid. And three quick items from yesterday's game. So the worst tournament choke job was definitely in Nevada with 17-point lead, losing in the last 8 minutes. The worst officials call, and I'm sure you saw it, where Samford made the solid block.
Yeah, that was
would have had the ball with 15 seconds. And then finally, the most courageous team award goes to Wagner. I think the record was 17-16 in the season, but they dressed only 7 players for the game against North Carolina.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Hey, thanks so much, John. Appreciate the call. We will continue here. And Jackson is up next. Hey, Jackson, go right ahead.
How you doing today, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you for asking.
Oh, you're welcome. I wanted to ask you if this is the end of the John Calipari era at Kentucky. Do you think Chris Collins from Northwestern would make a great coaching candidate?
Yeah, I mean, the reason why that's difficult to answer is it really depends on the price. Because if you have to spend all of that money, you have a hard time getting really anybody that you want. So I think we're not talking about a conversation of right versus wrong. This is purely down to an economic situation for the University of Kentucky. We'll take a break. We have a lot happening here this afternoon. More of your phone calls. I know there's a lot of reaction to what happened. There's other games to talk about as well. We're back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back. A lot to deal with, including your reaction to what has happened both last night and expected to happen today. Amanda Krstovich has got a front row seat. She works for Front Office Sports, and she's been at one of the regional first and second round sites today to talk about the business of college basketball and college football. Amanda, thanks so much. Are you in Brooklyn? Is that correct?
Yes, I'm in Brooklyn, and I just watched a thrilling overtime Northwestern win for the 12 o'clock tip-off. So it's been a great day so far.
Yeah, tell that shooter for FAU. You got to get the shot up in regulation. You can't watch the clock tick down. We were watching that here at the studio. Amanda, we were talking about Kentucky a minute ago with Kyle Tucker, and I saw something you put out earlier about the difference in athletic departments. Cal talked about how, you know, the other team was so much older last night from Oakland. They may have been older, but talk a little bit about how much money Oakland spends on basketball every year versus the gargantuan amount that Kentucky does.
Yes, well, if I remember correctly from late last night when everything was a blur, I believe Oakland spent about $2 million on their basketball program in 2021-2022. That's the U.S. Department of Education data. And Kentucky spent $23 million, I believe, $22 million. You know, and look, this disparity may be jaw-dropping, but it's pretty common in March Madness. Stetson and UConn are playing here in Brooklyn as we speak. Similar disparity there. Stetson, $2 million. UConn, $24 million. You know, so that's kind of like the beauty of the NCAA tournament, both the men's and the women's, is these crazy financial disparities that, frankly, we don't really see in the CFP, for example. You know, still give Cinderella's an opportunity to win.
Yeah, 2.1 million. That's a point guard for Kentucky, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, to the other issue, and this is really the story of the day in Kentucky, and that's this $33 million price tag on John Calipari. I mean, we spent so much time talking about Jimbo Fisher, and after that, I think the next highest buyout was about $19 million a few years ago for Gus Malzahn, but I mean, can a college basketball program, even Kentucky, afford to deal with that, considering the differentiation between what college football brings in and even the University of Kentucky basketball program?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that obviously if you're looking at the balance sheets, it's a very daunting number. But if they can get the donors together, just like they can for an NIL collective, they can get the donors potentially to fund the buyout. You know, and my rudimentary understanding of his buyout contract is that it's not quite as strict and intense as, you know, some of the football contracts like Jimbo's, for example, was. So I think it's doable if the donors, for example, really, really think that they want a new era in Kentucky.
Well, I think a lot of people think they do. They just don't know whether they can afford it. I mean, I'd like a nicer house, Amanda, but I'm stuck where I am. Hey, let's move on to the big story in college football this week, and that's the ACC. I mean, it's not worth getting into the weeds of every single case that has occurred, but just your view from a little bit of distance about where all these lawsuits and litigation are leading. What was once, I don't know if it still is, but was once one of the most solid athletic conferences in all of sports.
Yeah, so there are currently four lawsuits regarding the ACC's contracts, which is pretty wild, right? FSU is suing the ACC, Clemson is suing the ACC, and then the ACC is counter-suing in other jurisdictions that may be more amenable to them. I mean, ultimately, the big question for all four of these lawsuits is the ACC going to be able to hold itself together, right, from a contractual standpoint? The main question is whether or not the grant of rights are enforceable, whether or not the exorbitant exit fee that, you know, we've all learned about with the ACC is enforceable. And so that's the main question. Frankly, in today's era, if, as you know, if you don't have an airtight grant of rights, your conference could be, you know, disbanded tomorrow, disbanded yesterday, even, honestly. So that's the big question. There was a hearing in one of those four cases today about a motion to dismiss. We're not going to get an answer to that for another few weeks. So we'll have to see how this fares. But it's really interesting that we've got four lawsuits, four different jurisdictions, right? And the reason that they do that is they're just literally hoping for a home field advantage with the judge, right? So it's going to be interesting over the next few weeks to see how this plays out.
Amanda, before you go back to the games, you've covered a lot of women's basketball mm-hmm. this year, namely Caitlin Clark, who will play tomorrow. South Carolina's playing right now. They're up by almost 50 points. We have talked so often about how women's basketball has had its greatest year ever, maybe even overshadowing the men. We're in the middle of the men's tournament, the women's tournament underway. Just juxtapose what's going on, especially when Caitlin starts playing, and it's particularly as we get farther along in that tournament and we get the marquee names of the women's sport getting close to the same place.
Yeah, I mean, there's been speculation, you know, which is a lot earlier than those of us who have been following have thought could be possible. There's been speculation that, like, the women's Final Four ratings potentially could even get to the level or usurp the men's this year. You know, we'll have to see. I think looking at it from, like, an investor standpoint, right, the women's tournament is on an exponential incline, right? And the men's tournament has plateaued or even gone down a little bit in interest, but that doesn't mean there aren't millions of people watching. That doesn't mean there weren't 14 million people watching the last championship game. So it's just a question of, are you looking at the hard numbers or are you looking at the growth? Obviously, there's been this conversation about the women's tournament overshadowing the men's, given all of the big personalities from Angel Reese to Caitlin Clark, but you know, what I think is that we're going to see an even bigger skyrocket next year after the new TV deal comes into place and potentially the women's tournament starts earning units. I'm really going to be looking to next year to see what that growth is going to look like.
Amanda, we'll let you go back to watching basketball, but thanks for making time for us on a busy Friday afternoon. Amanda joining us live from Barclays, where she is watching that regional up there, Connecticut playing right now against Stetson. We head to the break. More of your reaction to Calipari and a look ahead to today's games right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. We have Rocket Sanders coming up top of the hour. He's getting ready for his second SEC school. Let's get to your phone calls right now. And Bama Jerry in Memphis is up next. Hello, Jerry.
Paul, Alabama by birth, Crimson Tide by the grace of God.
Yes, sir. Like it.
Montgomery's home, but I live in Memphis now. I've been here for several years. Actually, I'm not far from where you grew up. I'm in the 12-story high-rise on Highland. I actually bought Rabbi Wax's condo.
Oh, did you really? How interesting.
Yeah.
He was
been here 16 years and got to visit with Rabbi Greenstein a few weeks ago and toured the temple over there. So I got a lot of history out of that, and it was a lot of it was about Rabbi Wax, so it was very informative.
Well, he was a very influential person there for many, many years.
Oh, yeah. The reason I called is I just can't believe it went this long, and maybe I missed an episode, but the other day, probably less than a week ago, Jim from Tuscaloosa was getting on someone and calling him a liar and this and that, but he said in the conversation, I was a baby in the 50s.
Yeah, since I'm about 10 years younger than Jim, I'm pretty attuned to that period of time, and he's definitely in his late 70s based on knowing him for 23 years. And so I mean, the one giveaway on Jim is always the same giveaway. He calls everybody else old and refuses to give his age.
But what I'm saying is he said it himself. He said
he said something a long time ago about. I mean, it was such a screaming giveaway that I knew it, but back then I was less inclined. That was before Jim called me the devil and the devil incarnate and the worst person on the face of the earth. He just said the show was terrible, so I wasn't nearly I was a little more helpful to him when his age came up. I tried to protect him, but I can't do that anymore.
Yeah, you got to let him out of that witness protection plan.
I have done that. Well, it's great to hear from you, Jerry. Great to hear from somebody in Memphis. And Big A is up next in the Commonwealth. Hello, Big A.
Hello, Paul. I am a first-time caller and a 50-year Kentucky fan. And this has been the most disappointing year since 2015. And I know a little bit about basketball, and I want to tell you what happens with Calipari. He promised the Harrison twins starting role. That's why Devin Booker and Ulis never did get to start. And I think he did the same thing with Wagner to get him. And they wasn't even the best players in 2015. And Wagner's not one of the best, or he doesn't deserve to start now. Thank you for letting me talk.
Well, thank you. Really good to hear from you. Thanks so much. Chris is in South Carolina. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul, long time.
Well, thank you.
Man, I used to call you a lot right after Clemson's second championship and used to talk a lot of junk. But, you know, kind of got humbled the last couple of years. But I was just really calling in to tell you thank you, because when I used to call in probably about two or three times a week, and we used to have little arguments and stuff. But I really did listen to something you said. And you said I need to take a step back and look through college football as a college football fan and not a Clemson fan. And I really want to tell you thank you, because I really, really started fell in love with college football. I thought I really loved it, but I really fell in love with it. And I appreciate you for that. But
you've
been talking kind of reckless here lately, though. And so I'm calling back. I'm back on it.
What have I done recklessly?
Yeah, man, like you always do, man. You got a little extra hate for Clemson in your heart. But I mean, I understand too. After that 44-16, it got really kind of bad after that. But
now, Chris, do you think I really cared one way or the other about a game that happened in what 2018, 2019? I mean, seriously now.
Well, I mean, that's you, but I care about the year before the second year before.
I know it's so weird, but I don't live and die. I have a job. Whether teams win or lose, I still come to work the next day. I don't harbor 7-year-old grudges against Clemson because they blew out Alabama. Is that possible?
No.
Possible, but I wouldn't admit to it. Elliot is up next. Elliot, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. Last couple weeks, you were talking about how the Big Ten's not going to have a good showing. They haven't been relevant for a while, yet here we are. There's more Big Ten teams winning right now than there are SEC Greg Sankey wants to expand the conference, but why? Why does he want to expand? He wants more SEC teams in there when people like Oakland knocks off Kentucky? Come on, Paul. What's going on there?
Really, not very much. Listen, we're in the first round of the NCAA tournament. I wouldn't get carried away yet, Elliot, but that's what you are. You get carried away with pretty much everything. Dwayne is up next.
Hey, Paul, bomb, bomb. Hey, Paul, what's going on, Paul, bomb, bomb, you Kentucky lover? Talking about Kentucky gonna do this in Kentucky. I heard you the other day somebody else put my money on Kentucky.
Yeah.
They got a good,
hey, by
good
the way,
chance.
Dwayne, can I ask you a favor?
What? I don't live in the past. I don't live in the past.
Allow me to ask you this. Are you at home tonight?
Yeah, I'm at home.
The reason I ask you is I need a place to stay since I lost my house last night.
I know you did.
I lost my house, hey, my wife, in. My car.
Hey.
I even lost my dog.
All right, then tell Bud. Hey, tell
I put it
Bud
all up. Hey, by the way, I put Randy on the. And the Randy's gone.
Tell Randy to drop y'all at the
it's
airport.
All gone,
Dwayne. And I'll pick you up. Huh? Huh?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.